Father, you have given us great deliverance. There was a time when we were ensnared and we did not even realize the peril we were in. There was a time when we did not desire you or your help. There was a time when we were lost and did not desire to be found. But now, Lord, we really understand what it means to be lost. We understand what it means to be in the dark. We understand what it means to be ensnared, to be apart from Christ. Oh, Lord God, you have broken the snare and we have escaped. Oh, Lord God, you are on our side. Oh, Lord God, deliverance is ours. Great deliverance is ours through our great God, our Savior, the one who lifts us up out of the traps that we're in. He breaks the traps and he smashed our enemies to dust, oh God. And we are saved. And so we thank you, oh God, for we are undeserving and yet you are kind. In Jesus' name, amen. We started Psalm 18 last Sunday evening. We continued this morning in Psalm 18, and now we come to the closing verses of Psalm 18. And what have we learned so far? We've learned that David, King David, wrote this psalm, and he wrote it on the occasion of being delivered from his enemies. That's expanded on in the title given before verse 1, and even more so in 2 Samuel 21, and even on a complete level in 1 and 2 Samuel. It's a response of praise, delivered. He's been delivered by God. Deliverance is provided by God from the hand of all his enemies, whether enemies that should have been your friends but were not, that's Saul, or enemies that you would expect to come against you and did not disappoint. They came against him. And instead of living in the sorrow of his troubles, bemoaning his extreme problems, writing poetry that is dark and hopeless, David erupts in exuberant praise. He's delivered by God's awesome power. The provision provided by God comes from the Almighty. So deliverance is our theme for this Palm Sunday. And again, we can picture Jesus Christ himself riding into Jerusalem. All the people are shouting in triumph, "Hosanna, save us, deliver us." That's what Hosanna means. That's the whole meaning of Palm Sunday. They're recognizing Jesus as King, as Deliverer, Son of David, King Jesus, save us. And he does, not in the way that they were thinking. They were thinking of deliverance from the Roman Empire. But what Jesus provides is a much greater deliverance, and a much greater deliverance from what they were expecting. So that's where this psalm goes in these final verses. So we're going to start reading at verse 28. I know we just read them, but we're going to read them again. And think about the enemies of God and where they stand before God, because you're going to see a very great battle. This is not what the world expects of God. The world expects gentle grandpa to come in and just smooth things over, but that's not what God does here. God enters the battle, and it's a bloodbath. And God enters this great battle because that's what it takes to free us from sin's bondage, to save us from an eternity separated from God. This is what God is willing to do, to sacrifice his son so that we might live. And that's all given to us in Psalm 18. And here we're going to see the great battle in Psalm 18, verses 28 through 50. So listen as I read. Again, the theme is deliverance. Listen for that, but also see how great the battle is. Verse 28, "For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is the shield to all those who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord. But he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Resurrection, Easter Sunday next week. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. This is a psalm about David, that David is writing about his triumphs, but it's ultimately fulfilled in David's descendant, great David's greater son, Jesus Christ. This is about Jesus Christ conquering all of his enemies and ours. So there is an illustration in the life of David, but it's all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And with that, we have three headings this evening, or three points this evening. Number one, what the enemies did, and I think it's different from what's on the worksheet that you have. So here it is. Number one, what the enemies did. Number two, what David did. And number three, what Christ did. What the enemies did, what David did, what Christ did. Very, very simple outline as we close this psalm. So first we have what the enemies did. David's most famous enemy was Goliath. Goliath defied the armies of the living God. If you haven't read it, put it on your reading list this week, 1 Samuel 17. It's one of the longer chapters in the Bible, but it will excite you. Young David faces Goliath, and Goliath curses David in the name of his God. So Goliath has his gods that he looks to, and he curses David in the name of his gods, and he threatens to feed his flesh, David's flesh, little David. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds and the beasts. That's not what happened. God's deliverance came, and David, with one stone, defeats Goliath. One stone and the power of God defeats Goliath. Another well-known enemy of David was King Saul. In 1 Samuel 19, King Saul sends assassins. Think about that. He sends assassins to kill David in his bed. And David puts a statue under the bed sheets. He covers it with goat's hair to look like he's asleep in bed. And he sneaks out the window. This is deliverance by God, right? This is what we've been looking at in Psalm 18. All this deliverance, it might look like David's cunning and David's strength, but it's not. These enemies are too strong for him. In 1 Samuel 24, Saul took 3,000 special forces into the wilderness to pursue David among the rocks and the caves. But even with 3,000 trained men, their pursuit was worthless because God was with David, and David escapes by hiding in the caves. And remember how this psalm began? O Lord, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. There's lots of stories about David and his enemies and plots against David. But just one more for now. This is in 1 Samuel 30. David returns to Ziklag and he finds that the Amalekites had raided this city in retaliation against David. And they had taken the people captive and they had burned the city down. And when David gets there, he weeps. His family had been taken captive. Most of his men have just returned from battle and they're too weary to continue to pursue the enemy. But by God, right? This is the psalm again. These are words from the psalm. But by God, they will run against an enemy troop. These are tired men. And by God, they will leap over a wall. By God, they will overtake them and God delivers them again. This is what God does. And so you read, I don't know, for me, maybe it's just me, but those are the words that stand out to me. By my God, I can leap over a wall. By my God, I can run against an enemy troop. You know, just things that you think about. It's like, wow, that's some strength that God provides for them. So David's enemies, as he's said, and he says in other psalms, they're too powerful for me. Psalm 91 that we sang tonight is about enemies too powerful. Their weapons are too strong. Their pace is too fast. The wilderness is too difficult. The enemies are relentless and there are more of them. They never stop their pursuit. They always hate and they're striving against David and they're striving against God. But he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. That's Psalm 2. Applicable here, right? Psalms. The Lord sits in heaven and he laughs. As the nations rage, the Lord laughs. What did David's enemies do? They plotted and attacked. That's point one. What we're asking, what did the enemies do? They plotted and attacked. They were relentless. They were powerful. But there is no real success for them. You think about the devil and his desire to cause the world to misunderstand who God is. And yet God's word goes out with power and takes our minds and fixes it, straightens it out so that we can know and no longer misunderstand who God is and what he has done. He gives us his word and his spirit to change us. When the devil tries to defeat Jesus, even to the point of death, that very death is the crushing of the serpent's head. God is victorious. So enemies plot, enemies attack. Enemies are relentless. Enemies are powerful. And they continue to battle and to battle and to battle. So what does David do? This is point number two. Against Goliath, what did David do? Goliath cursed David, threatened to feed him to the beasts. Listen to these verses of what David did. In 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 47, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you," and he doesn't say with five smooth stones. He says, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." The name of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord God does not say with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Confidence in God. Compare that with what David's written here. Verse 27, you will save the humble. You will bring down proud looks. Goliath was proud. David has his power not in himself. He's humble in that sense, but his confidence is in the strength of God. Verse 31, who is God except the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? Goliath Goliath cursed David in the name of his little g gods, but one rock from David's sling brought the giant down. Verse 32, it is God who arms me with strength. David was a shepherd boy. He's not, you know, this seasoned military veteran that Goliath was. He's not a trained warrior, and yet, by the power of God, he says, God, it is God who arms me with strength. And that's why David killed Goliath. This is God's deliverance, and David makes that known. It's a deliverance for David, but it's also a deliverance for Israel. Verse 38, I've wounded them so that they could not rise. Verse 39, you armed me with strength for the battle. That's what David does. He goes into battle under the name of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Against King Saul, what did David do? When Saul's assassins came at night and David escaped out the window, Psalm 18:28 says, the Lord enlightened his darkness. By my God, I can leap over a wall. Remember, he escaped out the window. By my God, I can leap over a wall. You enlarged my path under me so that my feet did not slip. Jump out a window, sprain your ankle. But not David. You enlarged my path under me so that my feet did not slip. This is deliverance. This is God's way. And among the rocks, what did David do? Of all the caves that Saul would have gone into to rest, he went into the very cave where David was hiding. David and his men were hiding there. But instead of taking the opportunity to kill the Lord's anointed, David leaves vengeance to the Lord. Verse 47, it is God who avenges me. Verse 48, you lift me up above those who rise against me and deliver me from the violent. Verse 46, the Lord lives, blessed be my rock. What about the Amalekites? What did David do there? In 1 Samuel 30, it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. David asked the Lord, should I pursue this troop? And he followed God's plan with God's help, and he pursues. The enemy had a head start, yet David, although weary from battle, David and his men, weary from battle, God reveals the whereabouts of the enemy. David caught up to them. David attacked them. Not only did he recover all of the Israelites that had been taken captive and all of their goods, but he plunders the goods of the Amalekites. This is God who does more than we ask or think. Psalm 18:29, for by you I can run against the troop. Verse 34, he teaches my hands to war. Verse 37, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back till they were destroyed. Weapons are too strong. The enemies are too strong. But God allowed him to bend a bow of bronze. Verse 34. I'm not a bow hunter. I had roommates at one point in my life that were bow hunters. And I couldn't even pull the string back. But look at David. He bends a bow of bronze, which probably means, and that's a very strong bow, it probably means that he took this bow of bronze from the enemy and broke it. David wasn't a trained warrior, but God taught him. God trained him. God strengthened him. Their pace was too fast. The wilderness was too difficult. But, verse 36, you enlarged my path under me so that my feet did not slip. No sprained ankles, no broken legs. I pursued my enemies and have overtaken them. The enemies of God are relentless. The enemies of God's people never stop. They're always hating. They're always striving against God, striving against you. But verse 42, I beat them as fine as the dust. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. Verse 43, you have delivered me from the strivings of the people, the raging of God's enemies, the plotting of God's enemies. What do the enemies of God do? They rage and they plot and they scheme. God's enemies band together against God and against you. But time and time again, we recount God's deliverance. Hosanna, save us. Great David's greater son saves us. God saves his people through Jesus Christ. He destroys his enemies. Now, therefore, be wise. Fear the Lord. This is Psalm 2 again. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in His anger. That's Psalm 124, right? If the Lord had not been on our side, all of our enemies would have swallowed us up. So what did David do? He finds his strength in the Lord and is victorious. What the enemies did, they plotted, they attacked, they gathered together, and they went against God. What did David do? He fought in the strength of the Lord. And finally, number three, what Jesus did. If the Lord is not on your side, you will perish, and it's not going to be from a giant with six fingers on each hand and 12 toes on each foot. But you will perish from God's wrath in your sin. If the Lord is not on your side, you will perish from God's wrath. Without Christ, you are under the punishment of God for your sins. But if you are on the Lord's side, then you will live victoriously. This is ultimate deliverance. Jesus is your deliverer. Derek Kidner has written, and I would recommend anyone to pick up his commentary on the Psalms. He's written just two little volumes on commentary on the Psalms, and they're so easy to read and so helpful. Derek Kidner, in his commentary of Psalm 18, he writes that the victory has already been won. All those examples of David and deliverance, they are a promise of greater things. What greater things? The things that Jesus did. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He rides in as the King of Peace. He accepted the cries of the people who cried out, "Hosanna, help us, deliver us, save us." And He does just that. More dangerous than a giant with 12 fingers and 12 toes are the sins that so easily ensnare us. The worst captivity, worse than being trapped by King Saul, is our captivity to the things of this world. More deadly than a torturous death is the eternal death separated from the love of God forever. More worrisome than being pursued by a troop is sin's relentless pursuit against us. More heinous than the rule of the Romans, that the people of Palm Sunday wanted deliverance from, deliver us from the Romans. No, Jesus is going to free them from the rule of sin and death and Satan. That's what Jesus took care of, all of these things. He took care of them on the cross, and that's why Good Friday is good. You celebrate the death? No, we celebrate life. Yeah, I understand that. But no, we're celebrating the death of Christ. Good. We call it Good Friday. Because if Christ did not die, then we have no salvation. We have no Savior. And that's why Good Friday is good. So you might read Psalm 18 with the eyes of a secular scholar and see how bloody and terrible these battles are. Dale Ralph Davis, another great commentary, he does Psalm 13 to 18. It's some weird selection of Psalms, but just a little book. But if you've never read Dale Ralph Davis or heard him preach, I think it's worth listening to. I think you'd enjoy listening to Dale Ralph Davis on Sermon Audio or wherever else, maybe on the internet that you can find him. But he says that some people think Psalm 18 is too belligerent, too militant. And then he says this, "But at times, the mighty battle is the only way." Sometimes the mighty battle is the only way. Our Lord Jesus Christ fights a mighty battle against sin and the devil. Why? Because it's the only way. Jesus sets His face, as Pastor Guy said tonight, I think it is in his prayer, his opening prayer was resolute. He's resolute. He's resolved. He is going to Jerusalem. And He's going there to endure the cross, to despise the shame. He's going to hang there in humility, bleeding, bruised, dying. It's a mighty battle. But in this mighty battle, he deals the death blow to the serpent. He fulfills the promise of Genesis 3:15. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. And Hebrews 2:14 says, through death he destroys him who had the power of death. That is the devil. In Colossians 1, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of light. From darkness to brightness, as it says in Psalm 18. Satan is the defeated enemy. That's what all those pictures are. This is about the ultimate battle that Christ faces for us. Satan is a defeated enemy. He has no claim on us. We are free from his bondage, never to be taken into his captivity again. All of the belligerence and all of the militants of Psalm 18 is fulfilled in David in a limited sense. Right? We looked at his perfection this morning. It's a limited sense. But absolutely and ultimately, it's fulfilled. Psalm 18 is fulfilled in David's greater son, Jesus Christ. The righteousness that David has in Psalm 18 is completely fulfilled, absolutely fulfilled in Christ. The victories that David won in a limited sense, the battles that he fought in a limited sense, are absolutely and ultimately and victoriously fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Greater things from David's greater son. And there's more, because this is not just a battle for Jesus' sake, for Jesus to be victorious. It's a battle that is meant to free us. So here's the fear and trembling part about not being on the Lord's side. If you don't turn to Christ, if you remain his enemy, then it is you who will be pursued and overtaken. It is you who will be destroyed with none to save. It is you who will be ground to dust and cast into the streets. The wrath of God is not a small thing. It's not something that anyone should ever disregard. Death is scary, yes. But eternal death is far worse. So what happens when you die? Well, without Christ as deliverer, you will be eternally under his wrath. That's what the Bible teaches. It's a fearful thing, says the writer of Hebrews. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But at the same time, the Bible teaches that about eternal punishment, it also speaks of a God who delivers from eternal punishment. Hosanna, save us. Messiah, save us. Son of David, save us. Our God is merciful, Psalm 18:43 says, a people I have not known shall serve me. Foreigners will submit to me. Then verse 49 says, therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. That section from Psalm 18 is quoted by Paul in the New Testament. Romans 15:9, to show that every tribe and tongue and nation will glorify God for his mercy. Greater things, greater than David's reign and rule, the golden days of Israel under David and Solomon, greater than Solomon, Jesus, greater than David, Jesus. Implications into the New Testament to show that every tribe, tongue, and nation will glorify God for his mercy. Gentiles who have not known will fall under my rule. And since that is the case, not if that's the case, but since that is the case, that this psalm is not primarily about David, we can be certain that this psalm is primarily about Jesus and primarily about his triumph at the cross, his death and resurrection. The Lord lives. Verse 46, blessed be my rock. His way of salvation is for all who turn to him. How kind is this plan, church? How complete is this plan? How thorough, how perfect. As for God, verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The perfect plan of God, carried out in Jesus Christ. Without him, we perish. But with him, We are delivered. We are enabled to run against the troop and leap over a wall and bend a bow of bronze. I'm still not able to shoot that arrow, but that's not what it's talking about. We have enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, that are too powerful for us. Their weapons are strong. Their pace is too fast. Their wilderness that we walk through is too difficult. The enemies are relentless and never stopping, always hating and striving against God and against you. But in Him, we are delivered. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We can't come to him. He comes to us. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord lives. And blessed be my rock. And let the God of our salvation be exalted. We go into Holy Week with deliverance on our minds. All that happens this week to Jesus, even as he enters Jerusalem and he accepts the praise of the people, and then later on as he's betrayed, as he speaks about his death and institutes the Lord's Supper, and then is betrayed by Judas, as he prays in the garden, sweating drops of blood, as he goes into Jerusalem bound with a crown of thorns on his head, mocked and spit on, even as he goes to die on Good Friday. It is good because in his death we die with him, and in his resurrection we rise with him. These are all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And here we have a foreshadowing of the greatness of our God in Psalm 18. Let's take that into Holy Week. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, thank you for the victories that are won in Christ. May we find our refuge in you. May we sound our praise because you have delivered us again and again and again. And there, Lord, are always among us those who need deliverance now. They've been struggling and fretting and in fear. And Lord, deliver them by your powerful hand. Let them find their hope in you. Oh Lord God, come to us when we're bowed down and broken, and make our arms strong for the battle. Make our minds and hearts strong for the battle, so that we might move forward in Christ Jesus our Lord. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.